It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yeah.
Ice, I thought you were going to take off your headphones there for a second for Brennan.
No, you're Brennan homage right there. A Brennan homage. Bling bling, because he's not here today. Because he's a ho with the extra little extra in there. Yeah, well, welcome everybody to another episode of Animation. We are back again, of course. Without bitch ass Brennan, I am Keenan.
Yep.
We got Rob here.
It is Rob. Hello, everyone.
We got Ice.
I am here. Fuck Brennan.
And it's fuck Brennan all day, every day. Just in case y'all forgot.
It was his birthday last week, but
birthday
shit is over
now.
That shit is over and done.
It's done.
Somebody did get a cake on Friday on his birthday.
Yeah, last week, actually. Yeah.
Yo, Rob got another birthday cake.
His sixth
on Rob's his fifth or sixth cake. His birthday was February what again? Fourth?
Second.
February 2nd.
February 2nd. He got a happy birthday sung to him on March 8th.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I don't know anybody on this planet that's had that many birthday cakes or like just love from his birthday from that whole
And
it's
involuntary too.
Yeah.
Because you know how many like women would be like, B, it's my birthday
for
month,
the whole
bitch.
Exactly.
And they celebrate it the whole fucking month. They force it. They on social media.
Exactly.
It's still my birthday, bitch. Yeah. Like, Rob did not do any of that, and it still went over a month.
It's a new personal best for me. That's for sure.
Yo, Rob played it so low key. That shows you the love that Rob clearly gets.
Appreciate
that. In this studio.
That's fucking jokes. And then you just see it, like, we're gonna have to put. Did we put it on the page? The video?
I don't know. I don't know. If we got put on the animation page.
We need to put it on animation page so people can see like. Fucking Brennan's face when everybody's singing happy birthday to Rob on his birthday.
He
like,
seemed hurt.
Yeah. Brennan is the least hater person that I know in the sense of like he's a hater, but in something like this, he's never tripping on anybody's like other having love like that in the sense of like good things. But you can tell on Brennan's birthday,
he was
hurt because even he said, I don't care about celebrating my birthday. Don't celebrate my birthday. Don't buy me a cake. Don't do nothing. He said, all right, motherfucker, we ain't buying you a cake. And then when Rob got the cake, he was like,
damn.
Yo, like.
He was flying high after he got those Jordans, and then
exactly.
The cake brought him right back down to
exactly.
Earth.
He was on fire with the Jays, but yeah, that cake humbled his ass. That's what Brennan needs. Brennan needs, he needs to always be humbled.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That was just a quick. Keenan and I said this, like, this couldn't have been written any better.
Oh,
yeah. That was pretty
funny. There's no way that's like life is way more, you know, interesting than fiction.
Yeah. He got a megalobox jab to the face, and that's what he needed to humble
with
his
the metal glove.
Yeah, with the
the Potemkin.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to be talking about, man. We're going to finish up megalobox this episode. And we'll get towards the end of it, but Let's start talking about what happened at the beginning of these last few episodes we had to watch.
Yeah, so we had a direct pickup here. So this like basically started out just where we left off. The coach Nanbu was stepping outside and talking with his gangster hookup, the guy that's been running their helping them run their whole scam. And he's just like, "Hey, all right, cool, good job getting to the tournament. Now you know you got to take that fall for me because that's the deal, like that they had all along." Mm. And Joe steps outside to relieve himself as well. And we get a little bit of a flashback where when they actually made the deal in the first place, Nanbu's with the right after he had his bone soup or whatever, his people soup,
people soup,
and he's just like, "All right, cool, like you will do that, like if you can get to Megalonia, great, but then you know you'll start taking falls again, and that's how we'll make this money back. That's how you'll make it up to me."
Yeah.
And he turns around and explains that to Joe, and Joe, I mean rightfully so, is just like, dude, fuck you,
right?
You don't have a real bone in your body.
Yeah,
I'm out of here. Clocks him and takes off.
Punches the shit out
of him. Why was I being argued about how he's a shitty trainer?
Oh, I mean, he's definitely he's a garbage human being.
Yeah, he was being. I never disputed that.
He's a garbage trash ass human. We gonna go through him being a trainer through this episode too, because he's still not a good trainer. But he's an average fucking. He's a regular trainer. That's all he is. But yeah, he's a trash human being. I said it before. he pretty much says, like, bro, he's like, I didn't believe, he's like, I never even believed in you until you started winning.
Yeah.
That's that fucking hurtful.
Yeah, yeah. That pissed me off.
Because, yeah. Like, I mean, as everybody, like, we're like, you know, especially Ice and I, we're both in entertainment. We're both comedians. If somebody close to me told me that, yo, I didn't believe in you until you started getting hot, mm-hmm. like, fuck you. I don't want you to ride along with on the coattails with me then. Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
You wasn't shooting with me in the gym.
Yeah, like, go back and bounce.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. As a trash human being and an average trainer, I don't understand the loyalty that anybody has given this fuckboy.
Yeah.
He's consistent, too.
He's consistently been, like the dude said, you're a scorpion. Like, you're going to always sting.
Yeah, he tells him, like, yeah, you're a tiger that's not going to change his stripes. Like, you are the scorpion.
And that's the same thing that he kind of, you know, perpetuated onto Joe, too. He is like, bro, this is us. Like, we're frauds. Like, we're never going to be the real deal.
And we ain't. But that's the thing. Joe was never really a fraud in that sense. He was just like, bro, like.
He just want to make some money.
Make a little bit of bread. But he always loved. That's why he did it, because he loved fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't want to take falls. He's like, all right, man, I need to eat though. So, but he was like, he's looking at it, like, I could probably make money off winning. But the dude, I guess, kind of manipulated him in a somewhat sense into being like, this, you can make more money doing it this way.
And he kind of strung him along, saying, okay, this fight you get to win now. Like, you get to win this one, and like, oh, well, actually, no, you don't. Yeah. And he's like, he coming in with the mind state of, I'm gonna win this, and I get to actually show off my talents, and then, you know, Pops is just like, nah, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, Pops has got, I mean, he's still at this point even in denial, because he's just like, dude, we just got to, like, do this one more thing, and then we're fucking out of this. And it's like, and that comes up later. But, you know, Joe takes off, decks him and takes off. Sideshow, the little kid, sees all this and is just tells him to go fuck himself, too, while he's at it.
As he should.
And he takes off. And
kid, a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
the kid a lot.
I liked him a lot, too.
Yeah. And Pops is standing there just like, you know, fuck. He's got nobody left with him. And rightfully so. He goes out looking for the kid, and he finds him. Well, actually, he's talking with, I forget exactly who he's talking to, but he goes to talk with, I think, that old tech developer
that
told them about, you know, Ace's, his gear. And he's just like, yeah, I remember that kid, actually. Or I remember hearing about a dude that used to work at the Shirato Corporation that, you know, he was actually working on the integrated gear. Mm. And, something happened to him. But I remember him saying he had a kid.
Yeah.
So it turns out that, you know, Sideshow, you know, the fact that he's got a gift for tech isn't necessarily, I mean, he must get it from his dad.
Yeah.
Because it turns out they basically, Shirato, it sounds like, stole that technology from him. Like, and just said, you know, this is ours. We don't need you getting in on that at all. And soon after that, like, Saichu's mom got sick and died, and that's how he became orphaned and, like, started living on the street.
Because his dad got killed. His dad dead now, too.
And that's always that big corporation. That's why, I mean, for me, you know, I'm not just a fan of, like, they're just thieves in general. It just made me think of just, like, big corporation in our real life.
Yeah.
Like, they'll steal some shit. They'll kill your family and be like, man, we just want to name a street after this guy because he was so good.
Yeah.
They'll kill you and name a street after your ass or some shit. Yeah. But, yeah, man, it's just, he knows that, you know, the girl killed his pops, and that's how his mom died. And then we go from there.
Well, it seems, and that's what we think, because he's just like, Sideshow's just like, that's the reason I'm here, is I wanted to get my revenge, and you, like, took that from me.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so mad at Pops.
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right, come on, let's get in the car. Let me take you somewhere.
Well, he was like, you're using Joe just like I use Joe.
Yeah, true.
And I was just like, he's a fucking kid.
Yes, he's a child.
You can't compare the two. You're an old man that's been through life.
Yes.
This kid can have this as a child. He's not even 14 years old. Yeah, exactly. And his revenge is different. Like, you killed my parents, technically.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I understand. I think the kid told Joe that. I think Sato told Joe. Joe be like, all right, let's get this worked in.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. And he wanted to use him as revenge, but he wanted him to win.
Like, exactly.
He didn't do that, have malice for Joe. He had malice for, you know, the company.
The kid in his heart always believed in Joe.
Yeah.
And I know if Brennan was here, he was like, well, the trainer kind of did. The trainer does not believe in Joe.
It grew.
The trainer only goes with Joe does. If he sees Joe doing something well, okay, let's go for it, Joe. Mm-hmm. But if he sees Joe doing something bad, there's no motivation. There's no real motivation. He's just like, all right, Joe, you're outclassed.
Yeah.
And he's shown that multiple times. That's why I think he's a fucking trash person. And that's why I say also a trash trainer. A trash trainer is going to, he's going to be honest with you, but he's going to also tell you, here are some different things you can do to offset what this guy is doing to you. And We'll go on to more stuff that he advice that he gave when it didn't work. But yeah, go ahead.
So so Nonbu the pops, he takes he does pick up Sideshow and he picks him up in his truck and he's just like, all right, like let's you want to get some revenge, like let's go. And he drives him over to the like the Shirato like compound or whatever, which apparently got terrible security because they get right up to the front lawn.
Yeah.
And they're just like parked outside of them having like their party or whatever. And he looks over at Sideshow and he's like, you know, there she is. Like, there's the woman that you're after. And he hands him a knife and he's just like, you want your revenge? Like, this is the best I can give you.
Yo, if that's job, y'all Sideshow, what are y'all doing?
No, I mean, shit. Oh, no. This reminded me of, like, fucking Batman Begins. Like, when he shows up at the courthouse with the gun and What's-Her-Face is just like, all right, cool. Like, you wanna get some revenge on these gangsters? Like, drive them up to the bar and it's just like, that's where they all hang out.
Yep.
Go get them.
Yep.
And he's just like, okay. Then he goes in there and gets the fucking shit kicked out of him. Yeah.
So you're not doing it?
No, I don't think. I think I wouldn't do it, personally.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't do it either.
I don't think I would do it, but I think where Sideshow's from, since he comes from the slums, I don't see why he didn't.
Yeah.
Because, it was weird to me when he goes and then what happens is he sees, like, her, like, I guess kind of, like, interact with two kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't give a fuck because those are not her kids. If those were her kids, then I see him being like, "Or I don't want to take their mother away from their, their mother away from them." So I'm a hold off. Mm-hmm. But as a kid from the slums, from maybe the hood, I might be thinking like, "Yo, this, I'm about to kill this bitch." Yeah. Like you killed my dad, my mom died because of. Mm-hmm. You gotta go.
Yeah. I think it's more so maybe he just thought of like maybe one day that she'll be a mother, and it's like, I don't want to take that, you know, away from those kids that are, you know, even though they're unborn, that, yeah, she's going to be a mother one day, and if I kill her now, they will never have a mom. Like, or they'll never, you know, she'll never be that.
I'm going to be honest, he wasn't thinking that far. I'm just saying, it was something. I doubt he was thinking that far at all.
Seeing those kids had to, but it did trigger something in him.
It triggered something in him. I think he saw maybe, he just saw a moment in himself and wishing that was him and his mom.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that was, like, that was it. And but I wouldn't, if he would have did it or at least attacked, I wouldn't have put nothing back. I would be like,
I wouldn't have necessarily held it too much against him, but yeah, I do think he,
I would have been surprised.
I would have definitely been surprised, but I think he, you know, he saw that moment and was just like, no, I want to be better than that. I think he wanted to, I mean, he's got more growth than, he shows more growth than pretty much almost anybody else on the show where he's realizes that. Yes, he wants Joe to win, but he still wants Joe to win for his own selfish reasons.
Yeah,
right.
You know, while he does believe in Joe, at the end of the day, what he wants is for Shirato Corporation or whatever to suffer because of what they did to him.
Yeah.
Not because he's like, he wants Joe to succeed for Joe's reasons.
Yeah.
But, so while this happens, and he's just like, nah, I can't do it, and Nonbu takes the knife back, and he's just like, all right, come on, let's get out of the car. And he goes and he approaches Yukiko or whatever her name is from the Shirato Corporation. He's just like, kind of presents him with the kid and is just like, yo, like maybe you know what happened, maybe you didn't. But, you know, this kid is, you know, he's without a parent because of your corporation, what you did. Yeah. So you owe it to him to, like, take care of him for a little while because you know what our situation is. We're in a lot of fucking trouble right now. Mm. So watch this kid for a while and I'll be back for him, basically.
Yeah. And he even said, like, you can't, like, the gangster dude, like, he's got power, but he's not going to be able to touch you if you're with the Shirato Corporation.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, because the gangster does tell him, like, if you, when they're talking under the bridge, he's just like, if you don't take the fall, you're not the only one that's going to be dying because of this.
Yeah.
I will kill you and everybody as part of this team.
Yeah.
You and him.
Yeah. So, the woman from the corporation, Yukiko, for a not enough reason, doesn't seem to necessarily know about what happened with this integrated gear. For as involved as she's been in like developing it, she like because she has her people like check in on this whole story, and like check up on Joe and all that shit. And well, they come back to that later. But the kid is staying with them, and this actually they go to the first fight with Yuri and this dude, the spider, which Joe doesn't show up to like any of the press, like stuff.
I said he wasn't black. He wasn't
he
black.
He was not.
Y'all kept saying, no, I'm telling you, number two is black. I was like, he's not black, yo.
I guess he said he's Mexican.
It
yeah,
said clearly. Now,
speaking Spanish. He's got like the Dia de los Muertos stuff.
He looked
going on.
He looked more like, I guess, Dominican.
I'm about to say he's Dominican,
or
which is black.
Yeah, I agree. That's Afro Latino. But what I'm saying is, for him, that's a whole deeper thing. I won't get into that. But in the sense of like, you know, I only thing I didn't have an issue with is that at least they put a Mexican fighter in there because Mexican fighters and black fighters are known to dominate the sport of boxing. So, mm-hmm. Boom had no issue with that at all. So, I was like, all right. I was like, at least they dropped a Mexican fighter in there because that makes at least sense for one of them to be at the top.
It makes fucking smoke.
Yeah, Sugar got smoked.
As much as they built Sugar up, he was just
number alone. That was the only thing.
Yeah.
And so that pissed me off how they spelled his name.
Yeah, Sugar with the hard R.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
You don't put a Sugar with the hard R, man. Like that was a little extra
they
on there.
They did that shit on purpose.
Yeah, it should have been Sugar.
So they had the hype videos going for these two fighters as
dope too. Hype videos are tight.
They were actually. Yeah. They were. And Joe's up in the stands. He's watching this whole thing because he didn't go to the press conference or whatever, but he's there for the fight because you know he's the genuine article. That's what he cares about. He's not about the press tour. You know, that's not what he's there for. So he shows up and he's watching everything from up above in the rafters and. Yuri and Spider get into it, and this thing goes two rounds. The first round is very defensive. People seems like they're kind of like trying to test each other out.
Here's the thing about Spider.
Yeah.
Spider is very defensively Floyd Mayweather-esque. Mm-hmm. He's doing a Philly shell.
Yeah,
he's doing the Philly shell when he's fighting, which I was like, that's a dope homage to at least Floyd.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's dope. And they talk about his attributes, him having long arms, and that would put him to an advantage and stuff like that. That's why they call him the Spider. And, yeah, this doesn't last too long.
No, yeah, once they get into the second round, like, Yuri's done, like, testing the waters. He's got this dude figured out, and, like, he kind of gave him the baki. Like, they had that whole, like,
yeah.
You know, when he's weaving side to side, and they have, like, the purple glow, like, on his gloves and his eyes, like, all tracking his movement. And he hits him with the uppercut and then follows that with a mean fucking hook.
That hook got him. That was a Joe Frazier-ass hook.
Oof. Yeah, I'll say this, man. This is a number one versus number two. This is one of the most lackluster number one, number two fights ever.
Oh, yeah.
And, like that shit was trash. I was honestly very upset.
It's like football. And go back to that again. NCAA, Because those number one versus number two, I mean, the past couple years been decent, but the year before that, ass whooping.
I'm sorry. That's like putting a number two seeded team that didn't play any ranked teams the whole season, but they I don't fuck with Notre Dame, so I agree with you.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then they're number two, and then they get there, they're clearly not a number 10 team. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I felt like. I was just like, that was my main thing with this particular fight, was that this is a good time to show Yuri that. At least to show that Yuri and something like to where, like, all right, he has to struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
So when he gets to Joe, okay, this could be more of a battle. But he beat the number two like it was like he was me. Like I don't box like that.
He beat him with almost no effort. And I'll skip forward just a little bit into the next thing, only to address that point that you just made is that outside the ring, Joe and Yuri meet up.
Yeah,
and Joe's kind of just chilling, thinking about all that shit that he's going through right now.
Yeah,
and Yuri's dog comes up with him, and Yuri's just like, "Oh, yo, he doesn't really usually like people," but they start talking, kind of having like a man to man talk as he's like, "I kind of hope you make it to the next round," but he asks him specifically about what it's like to fight without the gear. And I think, especially based off what he saw with Ace and just having watched everything that Joe's done so far, he's just like, I think he's in his own head, like the way Ace was, where he's just like, what's my ability and what is the gear?
Yeah.
I think it's getting to the point where he's just like, this was the first point where, honestly, and I kind of called it because I was like, if he doesn't fight the final fight without his fucking gear, I'm going to be kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, he's in his head thinking like he just wants to be doing this on his own.
Yeah.
Like he is the true like consummate fighter. That's why he showed up to fight Joe in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
He's all about the ability. And I think at this point he's starting to realize like the gear is giving him, I think, an unfair advantage.
Right. Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is right. Like, I think one of the biggest reasons that the fight was so one-sided is that his skill on top of the gear is just like putting him on a whole different level than a lot of other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think even like the last fight probably would have gone differently if he still had the gear on, to be honest. But
yeah. Because those punches would have hit a lot harder.
Exactly.
Then he already, we talk about it. But
I'll say this is why, like, I guess he's like the main, protagonist?
Antagonist.
I'm sorry, antagonist. This is why I like Yuri a lot, because since he's not really an antagonist in that sense, because they meet up and it's like, from what I got from it, they're both stray dogs.
Yes.
They're both kind of guys, maybe from the slums or hoods somewhat. Because, they talk about how Yuri said something about like how somebody believed me when I had nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. They both kind of, that's probably why the dog came to him and was like, wasn't tripping, because he's like, you're just like my master pretty much. You're just like Yuri. You're very similar in that sense. And they, you can tell there's real mutual respect for each other there. Mm-hmm. There's no like, yo, I'm going to beat your ass. Because he asked him, he's like, why do you fight without the gear? And he said something like, I want to fight you without the gear because I feel like I can go, I feel like you're going to take me further.
Yeah.
Further than I've ever been. So that's why I want to fight you. That's what Joe was saying, why he fights without the gear and when he wants to fight Yuri without the gear. Yeah.
From a writing perspective, I really respect this because like, it's that like that's very risky to make a antagonist that's not an antagonist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And not in the sense of you feel where they're coming from, but the fact that like there's no real beef between them.
Yeah.
And it's like usually with stuff that like you killed my people, like killed her, you know, her dad and stuff like that.
You
like,
feel for the revenge.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some that you know that antagonist has that backstory, but with this it's just like I feel like that's really hard to pull off, like where there's a mutual respect between both of the, you know, the protagonist and the antagonist to the point where it's like blurry lines almost.
Yeah.
And we were saying that last week. It was just like there's no real conflict at all in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between the characters.
But the story holds so much weight without that. And I think that's why
the directing in the show so fire, the writing in the show so fire is those type of things. So yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean and then it goes up to, you know, there's a couple scenes that lead to the end of this episode where, you know, Nanbu's at the bar after having watched the fight and, you know, the gangster sits down with him and he's talking. You know, they talk a little bit more about the story with the frog and the scorpion, which, you know, is about, you know, basically a proverb or, you know, a story about how people don't change.
That story was trash. That story was so fucking... I thought the scorpion was going to say something more profound after he stung the frog. He was just like, that's just who I am. Man, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like, I mean, they use that story a lot. I feel like that's been used a lot in, like, these sort of stories or these type of, like, shows or whatever. Like, I think it was used in Kill Bill, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's just an ancient type of thing that's, like, that's probably passed along. It's a main type of story like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But it is one of those things. It's getting a little tired.
Hack.
Yeah. Hacky as shit. But he's basically just like, oh yeah, like you got your dog trained well. Like, make sure he does what he needs to tomorrow. Joe is he kind of goes back and he's still hiding out. He's not going back to his old spot because Nanbu shows up later drunk and sees that nobody's there. And it seems like Joe's hanging out at the old garage where he used to.
And
the dude that fixes up his bike is just like, hey, so like your matchup is coming up tomorrow. Like, so you tell me, who should I bet on?
Yeah, because he still know where he came from. You know, he still know that he was in the slums and stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So that's how the last one kind of ends on that. That episode ends on that cliffhanger. And when it picks up, like they're just about to get started with this matchup between Burrows, the lion, and Gearless Joe, who they call Naked Boy when he's like coming to the ring. I was like, Naked Boy, like where's that coming from?
Yeah, that was brand new.
It was somebody in the crowd called him that, didn't they?
I think so, something like that.
But they said his name was Gearless Naked Boy Joe.
Yeah, how many nicknames are going to give this guy?
Yeah.
But he's given the old Bluetooth earpiece.
How many of those do they fucking have?
It must just got like a whole box of them.
It's like somebody fucking uncle just have them all in the back. Got you another boy.
Got you another Bluetooth one. It's in my linen suit pocket. Right.
Yeah, because he's crushed a couple of those already.
They've just been throwing them bitches out like, here's another Bluetooth. Here's another Bluetooth. Like, God damn.
Yeah. But he doesn't have anybody in his corner. Sideshow's not there. He's being taken care of by
Yukiko
and for whatever reason they have fucking Nanbu up in like the coach's box, like he's up in the box seats with the gangster, just like
he's the offensive coordinator.
Exactly, that's what made me think of but he's got the headset on and you know the gangster's sitting there eating his meal and he's just like, all right, things are gonna go like how we talked about, right? And,
yeah,
and he's giving Joe the speech like through the headset, like, you know, hey, with a minute left in the third round, that's when you're going down. I think earlier in this episode, actually, I skipped over is that Yukiko's kind of been going back and forth with her people looking into Joe's past, and they basically figure out that he is, you know, what her brother figured out. His ID is fake. He's this dude called Junk Dog that's from this underground fighting ring that Sideshow's you know, his parents were killed by people within their corporation, that there was some sort of quote unquote irregularity
right.
with the acquisition of their integrated gear.
Was that right here when because Saito drops the ID?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
she finds it. Was it before the episode or after this?
Oh, you know what? I think it comes after, but she's kind of going back and forth this, like while she's closing up her ranks, like, oh shit, there's a bunch of stuff been going on in my corporation that I didn't even fucking know about.
Yeah,
she
said that was cool. She was all like, I'm gonna make sure that anybody that was involved in that gets dealt with. And he was like, told you know, Sideshow that like, hey, yeah, it's some fucked up shit that happened, but I'm gonna take care of it.
Yeah, because, like, she does seem to be taking care of him. Like, I think he even, like, gave her some flowers and something like that. And he's like, yo, these are my mom's favorite flowers. And she's starting to feel bad. And it seems to be, like, while she is definitely in charge of this evil corporation, she doesn't necessarily know what's going on. Like, she's probably up at the top, you know. And I've seen this happen even in just, like, entertainment where they're just like, hey, we need to get this done. And then, like, with each chain of command, it goes down and becomes way more important. We're just like, we got to fucking do this. And just, like, all of a sudden, like, there's bodies piling up. And it's just like, what happened? And then we got to cover that shit up, and then becomes a whole thing. Obviously, I haven't seen or heard of anything in the entertainment industry with bodies piling up. You know how it goes. You know,
Rob ain't no snitch,
man. I survived.
Rob ain't no snitch out here, man.
And I've seen some PAs come and go. Some people out in that desert.
He's just there. Now he's not.
But coming into the ring, Joe's coming in there with nobody in his corner, and he's going up against Burrows. And when he walks in, like, he's introduced as Gearless Naked Boy Joe, but to surprise everybody, he's wearing his old gear.
Yeah.
And I think this is partially to fuck with his coach, to be like, all right, like, we're going back to the old days of shit. Like, fine, like, let's fucking do this then.
That's tight,
And he gets into the ring, and while he is wearing the Bluetooth, he's actively not listening to the coach. In fact, I think maybe even taking the opposite of his
advice. He even said that. The gangster dude said that. He was like,
He's not listening to you.
You told him to do this. He's just doing that. He's still playing up the fight, but he is purposely not listening to what you're saying.
I got
to
say this because this none of this shit adds up. He's fighting a fucking heavyweight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With gear.
Yes.
And he was going to go in there with no gear at first before he came in there with gear.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling him to take a dive. He technically doesn't really have a chance.
Right.
No.
Because like Brendan was saying, with it, you know, when you're a middleweight, you actually have the advantage with the gear you do.
Yeah,
sure, yeah,
maybe, but you're still fighting a good fighting heavyweight. This shit should have been, because regardless if you get hit by a heavyweight, regardless of the skills that you have as a middleweight, if you get hit by a heavyweight, a middleweight is going down.
Yeah,
because just off pure power, you don't have it to survive a hit. But Gearless Joe, so the fact that they were even saying, like, make your guy go down, I was like, no, this motherfucker probably, you don't even need to make the bet. It should have been like, you don't have to tell him to convince him to go down. Technically, he should have actually been going down. Even when he's getting hit by Burrows in this fight, and he's not going down. I was watching this fight with, like, a stale face, like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah.
He's getting hit by a guy that's 200-plus pounds, and he's eating those.
Yeah.
And he goes 3 rounds without getting knocked down either.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is like that Simpsons episode that's all about Homer, catching punches over and over again Mike Tyson.
Man.
He can take a beating.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he's standing up at all. Like, it should be like, just stay up.
Bro, he got knocked down by a bunch of guys his size.
Yeah. Right.
But now he fights with gear. Now he fights a heavyweight with gear, and he don't go down for 2 rounds?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here, man.
Crazy.
I couldn't. I was sitting there like, bro, this is ridiculous.
And you know what was kind of just a kind of a side note thing? Like, he was American, and like, he was speaking English, which was pretty cool.
You know what's funny? Actually, I immediately hated him when he started speaking English.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was. The way he sounded, he was like, I was like, all right, fuck, beat his ass.
and this did also remind me of Samurai Champloo with that baseball episode.
Yeah.
But like, the way they spoke English is just like, isn't that uncanny valley? It just sounded weird coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think this is a native English speaker. I feel like this is somebody that just does a really good
English
American accent.
Yeah.
American
somebody like. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Sun Belt region kind of started taking English classes, and it was just like, it was so weird.
It was very weird. But so they're going back and forth, and there's a few moments where he's just like, Joe is about to uppercut him, and he kind of pulls away, or he misses on purpose. So
he like caught the side of his face and something like
Exactly. Yeah. And Sideshow meanwhile, He wants to go see the fight, but he gets there and he kind of runs away because he's emotional about it, because he doesn't know whether or not he's actually going to take the fall or not. And he kind of has this moment where he's just like, shit, like, I was using Joe for my own personal gain, like, for my own revenge. I was using him as well. And he kind of has this like little musical number or something like that.
He's dropping fucking bars.
Yo.
He had a whole sideshow rap.
Let me tell you something. This shit was fucking garbage.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on?
This kid sucks, dog. He was rapping. I was like, turn this shit off, man. Like, this nigga's trash. Like, I was like, he would get fried by anybody. I was so upset listening to him rap. It was just like
he was fucking trash.
I was yo, I was like, this dude, I was like, somebody from the 80s, not to knock 80s rappers, but they kept the 80s kind of style. I was like, man, this shit is terrible.
Hip hop in your ass the fuck
exactly.
out of here.
Exactly. Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop,
hop. Today I went to the store and bought myself a hat.
Hilarious.
Go ahead, but that shit, I had to say that.
That shit
was horrible. And
at first, I'm like, oh, he got bars. Yeah. And then I'm like, he fucking get the fuck out of here.
You know what's funny? I came here, I was like, if Ice says this nigga got bars, I'm going to be very upset. Because I just had a feeling that Ice going to be like, man, yo, he was kind of spitting. I was like, man, no, Ice bet not say he got bars, dog.
It seemed like, a bad idea. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
It's just like the show's been so serious up to this point, and then just be like, here's a musical number starring one of the characters of the
and
show.
And he's sitting there shadow boxing and shit while he's rapping. Yo, get the fuck out of here.
No, man.
It was a little on the nose. It was a little too much.
This might have been one of the worst scenes they put in this show.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh,
for
man.
Sure.
They've done everything well up to this point.
Exactly. It's like,
the original writer didn't do that. That was somebody.
Yeah.
They brought them in.
That was a note from the network. I'll say that much. So while that's going on, this is a moment too where while that's happening, Joe and the trainer also kind of have this moment where the trainer, they're going into the third round. Joe's been able to last this long, which he is looking fucking beat up.
Yeah,
he's looking winded out there at this point, as always. And the trainer's just like, all right, cool, like this is the round. After, when there's a minute left, that's where you take the fall and we're done, like this is all over. And the gangster's in the background like, you think this is over? Like,
yeah.
Nah, man. Like, after this is done, you're coming back to the underground.
Yeah.
You're going to go back to taking falls, and you're going to be making me fucking money for the rest of your fucking life.
That pissed me off.
But here's
like,
the thing.
That pissed me off. I was like, come on. Like,
here's the thing. Like, it gets me upset with the lack of street smarts from some of these people.
Yeah.
And different type of shows that we've watched. And it's like, you have to know that's how gangsters operate.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, for the trainer to think it's going to go any other way is just straight up naive.
And he was just so surprised. I'm like, it pissed me off. I'm like, bro, duh. Like,
yeah. You understand that debts are never paid. Like, as long as I have the power over you, what are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah. You can never get from under me because if I want, all I got to do is always threaten to kill you.
Yeah.
And you're going to do what the fuck I tell you to do. But I'll say this. When this was all happening, I ain't gonna lie. I thought the gangster dude did some slick shit. I thought he did, and he didn't. But that's what I thought he was doing. I thought he was saying he was gonna bet on Joe,
and
but
then
flip it because he was saying the whole. This is my whole thing. When he told the scorpion story, I was thinking he was saying it in the sense of like, I know you're gonna you kind of like did some shit on me before. You're gonna do some shit on me again. So I know what you're gonna do. I'm telling you to do this, but you're gonna do the opposite with the fuck I tell you. So I'm actually betting all my money on the other dude purposely.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, I said, that's low key slick.
Yeah.
And we'll see what's gonna happen. And then I was wrong.
You like put all the money on Joe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was like, put all his money on Joe, actually. And,
he did not do that.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
That would have been pretty smart. But it basically, at that point, Coach is just like shouting in the earpiece, like, fuck it, Joe. Like, we're going out. Like, let's just do this shit. Come on. Sideshow's running into the ring. What I thought was cool is, like, Sideshow's running up there, and he's just like, you know, Joe, like, fucking, you know, come on, man. Like, let's do this. I'm here for you. Like, you got somebody in your corner. And that's when Burrows fucking socks him.
You're right.
And sends him down to the mat. But what was cool is that, like, Yuri, who's watching this whole thing go on, and sees Sideshow down there, and when the gangsters dudes like move in on him to like take care of him, get him out of there, Yuri steps up and is just like, don't touch him.
Yeah.
Leave him the fuck alone. And the security guard's just like, okay. Whatever. And then like as Joe's going down, it's not Sideshow or Coach or anything like that gets him back up. It's Yuri standing there going like, we have unfinished business.
Yeah.
Get your ass back up.
Yeah.
And Joe's just like, all right, like I'll do that. Like I'll get up. Yeah. And so
you're right.
That's what he's really fighting for at the end of the day. In a sense, he's fighting more for Yuri than anything.
Because he wants to get to that rematch. Fight him in his house.
Yeah.
So he gets back up, and as the the Burrows, the line is coming in. Meanwhile, Coach is up in the fucking coach's box swinging on all the gangsters.
He was whooping
that.
I give him that. He was holding his own.
He was doing all right. Yeah.
See, if he was an average trainer, he would have got his ass whooped.
No. An average trainer normally knows how to box.
An average trainer wouldn't have held his own.
He
like
broke
that
one dude's glasses. Yeah.
Bruh. He fought three dudes.
He held his own for a while.
Average trainer.
He's a trash human being. Yeah. Decent trainer. I'm not saying he's fucking
decent,
you know,
average, same
he's
shit.
He's not Floyd Mayweather Sr. or nothing like that. Like, he's not no, you know, big time.
He's no Virgil Hunter. He's none of those guys. What I'm saying is he is decent, average. Is there a big difference? Ice?
I would rather be, if somebody said I'm a decent comedian versus an average comedian, like, I would take decent a lot. Like, somebody say I'm an average comedian, that should have pissed me off.
I understand, but it's damn near the same thing.
It's just
different words for ego.
Yeah.
If you say how was the food?
Decent.
It was decent.
It was average.
It was decent. And then say how was the food? It was average, like,
no, I feel
you.
I see what you're saying.
Like, fuck you. Like, I put my heart and soul into that, you know, gumbo or whatever the fuck it was. You said it was average. Fuck you.
Come on, man. I hear you.
Okay.
So Joe does get back up, and he comes, and the lion dude, he's just like, what the fuck? And, like, comes in for a big punch, and Joe gets another one of his signature cuts on his cheek.
Yeah.
But he lands the punch square on the lion, and he goes down. He hits him with that big tire punch that he's been rocking the last couple of fights. He goes down, and Joe's the winner, and he immediately is just like, we got to get up to that fucking coach's box right now, because Nanbu is up there and he gets cornered, and they're just like, listen, dude, like, this is going to go one fucking way.
Yeah.
And he picks up a butter knife and he's just like, I know which way this is going to go. Mm. By the time they get up there, like, they're about to, like, bust in and start, like, trying to protect this dude. And he's just like, no, it's already done. And they cut over to the coach, and he's fucking carved his own eye out of his head with that butter knife.
And here's the thing. And yes, I'm going to speak for Brennan. Brennan's going to say, I told you he's a good guy. I told you he's a ride or die. Fuck no. This is for his own selfish reasons still. And he's still a shitty trainer. Or decent trainer, if you want to say. And shittier human being.
He's trash.
And I don't give a fuck that he lost his second eye. I don't honestly care.
I mean, I don't necessarily think this particular moment was only for himself. I think there was a little bit of atonement here.
Yeah.
Because he is the one that ended up like... fuck. And the only reason why they live is because the gangster's just like, I mean, because he's pissed off about it too, like, for a lot of reasons. He's pissed off that he got screwed over, but at the same time, he's just like, he kind of took away my revenge from me because he subjected himself almost to a fate worse than death.
Yeah.
But only on himself.
Yeah.
And so, like, he does sort of, because he says, like, the only thing this dude wanted was to watch one of his fighters become a champion.
Yeah.
And now he can't.
Right.
Sort of. Yeah. I mean, he kind of becomes like fucking Daredevil.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, he turns into fucking Matt Murdock. Like,
he turns into like Stick.
Yeah.
Like, but he's just like, you know, the gangster's just like, fuck it. Like, let him go. Like, he's done.
I'm sorry, I'm just not fucking with Nanbu in this whole thing. I think
you never, like, there's nothing he could have done in this whole series that would have made you happy and made him like him.
No,
I think, like, he could have been a complete 180, helped him, became a great trainer. And said, fuck the gangster dude, and you still would have been like, nah,
well,
that shit
he did. Well,
because
the main thing is that you didn't believe in him.
Yeah.
And so that's the main thing. If you would have been a shitty trainer, but you believed in him, I would have rolled with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
what if it was like a gradual thing? And he started, like, cause I think about, like, I made the reference last week too, like Rocky IV, when he was talking to Adrian, he was like, you don't think I can beat him?
Yeah.
And then she was all like, oh, he'll kill you, but that's your own fucking wife saying that you're going to get your ass whooped by
Drago. She trash too. Did anybody think Avery was a good chick in that sense? She's fucking horrible. Yeah.
But then she pulled up. She went out to Russia, came through with the mink.
I
was
don't
like,
give a fuck. You didn't believe in me.
With the mink.
You she didn't came believe. Through like, I'm here for you.
Let me tell you something.
I believe you. She
I don't
save face.
I don't want no woman, and even if you're a woman, you shouldn't want no dude that doesn't believe in what you're trying to do.
No.
That's bull. Especially that's your passion. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's fucking whack to me.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we even talked about with Baki when he was about to go out to that ring, and she's just like putting it in his head about, like, you know, what about the families of the people you're about to fight? And it's just like,
why?
Put that in my head before I'm about to go do this. Like,
yo, you understand? Like, what we're a lot of times in these type of sentences, like, what we're doing is stressful as hell anyway. So the fact that you're just go.
Yeah.
Before I get upset.
So coming into this last two episode stretch, you know, Yuri, he starts off this next episode kind of rolling up to Yukiko, and he's just like, and she's like, all right, cool. Like, you ready for this last fight? And he goes, I want the gear taken off.
Oh, man.
And she's like, what the, what do you fucking mean? He's just like, listen, I did everything up here up till now for you. This last fight is for me.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking doing this without the gear. I need to do this for myself. That's the only thing, the only fucking thing I'm asking for this whole time.
Right.
So I'm going out there.
Yeah.
And so he goes out into the woods and basically finds Yukiko's brother, who I thought had fucking killed himself at this
right.
point.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he did too. I'm with you.
I mean, shit. That dude had lost everything. But it turns out he just went out into the woods to hang out by himself, like, you know, got himself a little home renovation project.
Yeah.
You know, made himself a nice, like, wood cabin with, a, like, a death chamber in the fucking
right.
basement.
Right.
Where he's doing just, like, he's like, yeah, so part of my like little hideaway cabin, I'll put a fucking surgical table in the basement with a little dungeon for people to like, you know, put like sweat out their heroin sweats or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what
and
the fuck?
This is some type of saw type shit that he
yeah,
had.
Yeah, right?
It was like cabin, a cabin in the woods. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what,
yeah.
That's what the fuck it was.
So to kind of like shorten that all up, he's basically, you know, Yuri shows up and he's just like, hey, do you think you can take this integrated stuff off of me? He's like, number one, yes, I can. Number two, it will be the worst hell you've ever fucking experienced in your life, but I can do it.
Yeah.
So they go into surgery, and he removes all the stuff from him, and he's basically all wrapped up in recovery when Yukiko shows up, and it's just like, you fucking did this to him? And he's down in the basement fucking screaming.
Yeah. Well, like, no, that was before, because she was like, he was telling Yukiko, like, he's good now, but when this anesthesia wears off, he's going to be fucked
for days. Yeah.
And he is. He's down there screaming.
It's like a withdrawal. Like, that's what I felt when I was watching this.
Exactly.
Like, honestly, out of the whole, that this whole back four, you know, last four episodes, like, that part hit the hardest to me because it's like, one, you know, just hearing him scream as he's going through it is like, fuck. And, but then, like, the second part of it is like, that was like, he's willing to do this to be on a level playing field.
Well, yeah, because remember, he said something about, like, his, I think his first trainer or somebody was telling him, was like, if you ever lucky to meet a guy worthy enough to stand toe-to-toe with you, pretty much, then you do whatever you can to make that, like a worthy fight, or whatever, something like that in that sense. He said something in the sense of anybody. So he realizes that Joe is that guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to make, Joe is the guy that's finally going to take me there, too, that I respect the most. So I'm going to make this fight the most respectful as I can in an even fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And he tells Yukiko such when she comes down to visit him. She's like, why did you do this? And he tells her exactly that.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, like, cool. And like, she kind of like sits it out with him, like, while he goes through the rest
of it. She in love.
Yeah.
She's in love.
And so she goes down to the basement. The day he finally stops screaming, she goes down and sees him, and he doesn't have his gear on. He's fucking shadow boxing down there.
Yeah.
She thinks back to the day where she like first saw him as, I guess, the test subject, and just like, fuck, like, he's back to his form. Like, this is, he is free again. Like, this is where, kind of how, where he's supposed to be. And kind of looks on him and smiles and then turns around and tells the brother, like, this is it for me. Like, I'm done with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's of no more use to me.
Yeah.
Kind of closes that door and walks out.
And that's one thing I will give her. She's, though she sees stuff, she's pretty consistent. Like, I thought she was like, oh, yeah, let's go, Yuri. But she was just like, nah, fuck him. Like, and then that's how she's been either before that. She's just like, certain situations, like when Pops came with all that information and stuff, she was just like, ah, fuck you. Like, she's been like pretty consistent as a person, and you always think her, you know, she's gonna change, and she's like, nah,
I have a goal. She is business first. She is whatever helps her business first, and he is no longer of use to her business. Mm-hmm. While she does, I think, have feelings for him, she's just like, he can't help me, fuck him.
Yeah,
yeah.
True.
You know, and so she walks out, and you're right, like, this is when she's kind of going through that self-discovery, because she had the card that Saicho dropped when he was, you know, went to ringside to help Joe with his fight against Burroughs, and she's getting all that information download, and her people are telling him, like, listen, you have grounds to cancel this fight if you want, because now she's just like, you know, what the fuck, like, my signature event for Megalonia, this gearboxing thing, I'm gonna have two boxers without any fucking gear.
Right.
What is this?
Yo, I didn't pay top dollar for these tickets to watch two regular motherfuckers fight.
Exactly.
I could have paid way less, half the price
to see
for a regular boxing match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's contemplating it, but she's at the end of the day just kind of like, fuck it. Like, let's just let this happen.
Because she already has that contract signed with the military and stuff. So she's like, oh, fuck it.
I'm she got her money. Yeah.
She's like, fuck it.
Back to the business.
Yeah.
She's, if anything, this is PR for her company. Right. It's still money they're going to be raking in that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So, but on the other side, on the flip side of this, that was kind of Yuri's whole thing throughout that episode. On the flip side, Joe, you know, with, you know, Nanbu now blind, he calls in some favors and he basically gets Aragaki and his trainer, the veteran trainer, to come down to their ring and like, help him out. And which is, I was like, okay, cool. This is like definitely that. I mean, because they did have that, you know, that Rocky II moment where they're like about to have the even punch. So I'm like, this is kind of that Apollo Creed moment where they come back and like, all right, cool. These once rivals are now helping each other out and helping them get to the next level.
Running on the beach together.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Eye of the Tiger and all that. And so, so they're helping him train up and, you know, it seems like there's good feelings all around here at this point. You know, Joe's just like, fuck, I did all my training. Like, let's fucking hang out and swim and like, just,
bro, we skipped over one of the main things of why this is why Joe shouldn't be as good as he is. This is the first time he's fucking sparring. This is the first time sparring is one of the most crucial things you can do in boxing training.
He's like, oh, now I have something other than a bag to hit. Like,
bruh. He should not have this. I love the show, but in reality, he should not have made it this far without sparring anybody.
It's crazy. Yeah, no, I mean, his talent must be on another fucking level if he can't do that.
Even light sparring,
He could even spar with Pops Nanbu at some point. He should have did something. Even the kid Taicho, somebody needs to be in front
of
you.
Put some gloves
dog.
On the kids,
right?
Yo,
just give him some stilts.
Have the kids like sit out like on each other's shoulders or something like that. You know what I mean?
When
like
I saw this, person. I ain't gonna lie. I just threw myself backwards. Like, oh my, this is ridiculous. But go ahead.
So that's all leading up into the big final fight when and in the last episode when they roll up and you know everybody gets to the ring and sees that, you know, there's these two guys out there. Like Yuri shows up, no gear on, all scarred up. He's taking the fucking Shirato thing off the back of his jacket, and everybody's sort of like, you know, what the hell is going on? Like, we're here at this gear boxing championship, nobody's wearing any gear.
Somebody told Joe that too, right? They pulled up and told him that he didn't have
gear. Because that's right. Actually, Yukiko shows up at his gym. That's how the second to last episode ends. She shows up and it's just like, you know, I'm not really with Yuri anymore. Yuri's doing his own thing. He's in it. And also, so you know, he got his gear removed and Joe's fucking amped on him. He's like giving like, you know, the half distance smile. The Goku like, great, you know, like, challenge kind of thing. And, you know, so they get into the ring for this final fight, and he has Saicho and Nanbu there for him, even though, like, Nanbu can't really do much of anything. He's just kind of sitting there, like, listening to the fight. And
listening to the fight. That's fucked up.
He's like, I can. But he was.
I can put my hand on the ring and feel the vibration of. Because when they do, like, they do, like, a little dance number.
Yeah.
And then that was corny as hell, too. And then he kind of, like, uses that in a sense of, like,
And so he's just like, it's almost like I can see them out there. It's like they're dancing. It's perfect. But these guys.
I didn't know this was Hell's Kitchen. So.
Yeah, exactly. So they're in the ring and like they're going back and forth, like it's pretty even, and they're going like round after round after round.
Yeah,
and it gets to like round five before Yuri starts like really starts kind of turning the tide.
Yeah,
and it starts to be like, fuck, like he might actually have the skill over Joe, which makes sense because he's got the experience, he's got the training, he's probably fucking sparred people.
Yeah, you know?
And he's just like he's got the experience, he's got everything over Joe at this point.
Yeah,
and Joe is kind of. He's reeling from this. He's just like, fuck, like, am I going to be able to do this? Mm-hmm. And the coach kind of sits him down and he gives him this speech and he's just like, you know, like, who are you, man? Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I'm Joe. And he's like, that's right. Now go out there and fucking do this shit, Joe. So he goes out there and there is this whole thing kind of in the side where Yukiko's presenting this where the integrated boxing gears is like, her ultimate thing has just been to turn this over to the military at some point.
Yeah.
And that's basically what she's saying. And they're kind of watching. They're just for her. She's just like at the end of the day, like, gear boxing was not her ultimate goal. Her goal is to turn this into a military contract.
Right.
And it seems like that's going to work out for her, which is sort of weird because they just sort of show this and then it never really comes back up again.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if this does end up coming back with a season two, if that will end up being something that comes back.
It was just so weird to me because she was like, yo, it's not a weapon. It's like it's been a weapon since the beginning.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking
about? It's like we want to enhance the soldier. Then that makes it a weapon.
Yeah.
exactly.
Because the military people are like, can we put a weapon on it? And like, yeah. we're just some military ass shit. Like,
yeah. What you expect?
Think, think about how many inventions were made not necessarily as a weapon, and the military is like, oh.
We'll weaponize this shit.
Probably yeah, kill some
yeah. Oh, those atoms together right there? Let me see. Let's split that.
Yes. And it's just like, I mean, to the, at the end of the day, even if they don't put weapons on it, like, these are now still dudes that can fucking lift a Mack truck over their head.
Right,
or some
you got
shit.
Fucking Captain America.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're making their super soldiers.
Right, yeah.
But back in the ring, Joe is finally like, all right, you know, he kind of gets in the zone, and these dudes are, you know, trading back and forth, and, you know, Joe is getting to that level where he's taking the punches, and he finally sees a moment where he hits Yuri a few times, and these guys are trading haymakers, like, yeah, mm-hmm. back and forth. This is now in round, like, 13. And they're still somehow on their feet.
Yeah. Right.
And he finally, like, again, they kind of go towards another one of those, you know, Rocky II finishes where they're, like, about to hit each other at the same time, and it kind of flashes to white, and it doesn't even show you exactly who wins, but it right. shows you that somebody gets rushed to the hospital,
yeah.
somebody's got an IV bag in, and then it cuts to, like, 1 year later.
And it says yeah. something about death. Like, there's, like, oh, and you look at the face of death, and this is what happens. You end up dying or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
damn, somebody fucking died? Like, what?
I mean, and we did talk about that coming into the show. It's just like, people, and like, even just in regular boxing
yeah.
which is, this is at this point,
yeah. right.
like, they get hurt. People yeah. die. Like, yeah. it's not safe.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the case here, because they show where, you know, the old, you know, Team Nowhere, like, setup was, and then they show across the street, now there's a new gym. Nanbu's in there practicing his speech. Sideshow's there, like, getting some food ready. Mm. And he goes outside to, like, check in on somebody. It shows that fucking Yuri's out there, and he's sitting there in a wheelchair.
Yeah. God damn.
And it's like, dude, like, fucking Joe punched his ass so hard.
Right. That he fucking
snapped his spine. Or, I mean, it could have been also because of, like, the surgery or whatever.
Right,
like,
right.
obviously, that integrated stuff was tied into his nervous system. Like, it showed
yeah.
he had his spine was all scarred up. But,
yeah.
like,
I'm about to say, he shouldn't be in a wheelchair a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yes. I think it's combination of both things, the surgery and Joe whipping his ass.
Goddamn.
I mean, a punch could fuck you up for sure.
Yeah.
I see being out for months, but a full year, I don't know.
Yeah, but we get an update on, like, all the characters at this point. You know, Shirato Corporation apparently really set back from Gearboxing after, you know, Megalonia wrapped up, but they just announced plans for Megalonia 2.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of starting to, like, see who might be able to step in for that second championship match. And they cut to Joe, and he's back with his buddy over at the garage, and he's kind of talking to them like, oh, so, like, you know, you think you might, like, defend the championship? He's like, man, I don't know. I don't really know what's next for me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just worried about the party tonight or whatever. And he kind of takes off and stops. He pulls over by the side of the road and has this moment on his own by himself. And as he's kind of staring out there and thinking about, like, kind of as far as he's come, and then he starts just sort of, like, dancing. Like,
yeah.
kind of like singing to himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it becomes this moment where he's just sort of like singing and dancing. And, like, I guess that's a tie back to, like,
when he danced in the, what's it called? When in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. And
shit was trash.
Super trash.
They had
the music on that part. I was just sort of like, this is a weird note to sort of end this on.
Yeah.
But
that couldn't have been a main writer. It must have been somebody else that's on payroll that just was in the back, like, okay, hey, just make sure you put that dancing part right there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Make sure you put a little rap
son,
right
my
there.
My son loves dancing, so I need you to put this in there for
yeah,
him.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I feel like they were trying to do, like, an artsy thing at the end of it to kind of, like, I don't know, but it didn't necessarily work for me.
It didn't work.
And then while the credits roll, they show all everybody kind of, like, back together at the reunion at this party, kind of, like, hanging out, bro-ing down, and just
bro-ing,
like,
down,
having a good time, you know, having some drinks and drawing on each other's passed out faces, all
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems to be a happy ending for just about everybody. Yuri and Joe have a friendship, and they show back in the back. They still have Joe's ID card with, like, the, you know, the lucky flower taped on it. And, you know, it seems like these guys are going to be okay. And that's Megaloboxing.
Yeah.
That's,
and then they show it, like, 13, like, the 13th round.
Yeah, they show his record that, yeah.
Joe won and stuff.
Joe won 7-0. He won with, like, yeah, 2 minutes into the 13th round.
Yeah.
And, he was the Megaloboxing champion, the Megalonia won. Mega. So, yeah.
So what do you guys think, Ice?
Overall, I think these four episodes were the weakest episodes of... of what we watched.
Mm-hmm.
put the rap aside. That was fucking trash. I'm kind of pissed off. You thought that I was going to think that was a, like, that's some Brennan shit. That he
that's
probably
true,
like.
That's true. Brennan would probably like that.
Yeah,
rap.
When he got the flow, when he's just sitting there shadow boxing, like, that yeah. that wasn't good to you.
And I feel like Brennan, since Brennan has music in his blood from his family, I feel like he should know better too. But I think you're right. I think he would. Think
that,
that
was
rap
some
was,
Brennan ass shit. Yeah. And fuck him by the way in that hat.
Yeah.
But like I said, the over that, I don't know. I think because I called, I mean, in the second episode we did, I said it too. Like, they're going to tell them to throw the fight. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
That, and I thought, I was hoping that they, you know, did that pump fake again and steered it another way. But it really, it pretty went straight forward. Just like Rob called, you know, him going without gear. Like, yeah. these last four episodes, I feel like they were like, all right, man, we was on some cold, dope ass shit. These other, you know, what, eight episodes.
Yeah.
Nine episodes. So yeah. we just gonna play it cool and easy these last four. We're you know, we gave up, y'all yeah. roller coaster. Now you just take it easy on this little boat ride, and that's really what yeah. it was. It was like they just kept it, you know, kept it simple, you know, played it safe, and then just finished the show out after they did, you know, after they built it up so much. And it was a little bit of disappointment from that for yeah. me. Outside of him, you know, recovering, that part was pretty dope. But overall, those last four episodes, like, it wasn't a detriment to the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just something they could. I feel like somebody should have died.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if Yuri would have died, which was, you know, it's fucked up. But it's like, or if Joe would have died, like, if I don't know what they have plans for the next couple seasons. But overall, to me, like, I just feel like. I don't know. They just played it safe. But overall, the show was fucking dope. It's one of my favorite animes, for sure.
Yeah. Rob.
I would say the same thing. Honestly, I would say this lands in my top five. This is definitely one of my favorites that we've watched for the show, that I've watched, period. Mm. I was even saying to Brennan, like, I feel like, because when we were talking about the show, I felt like this would be a great introductory show for somebody that was like, I want to check out anime. What should I watch?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there are a lot of the things that might be alienating to people to try this out for a first time, or to try anime out for a first time, the show doesn't really have. It's not super over the top. It's pretty straightforward, like, very, I guess, quote unquote, westernized storytelling.
Yeah. And it's still grounded. It's not like super, like, you got mech bots and like bots, you know, but you don't have like powers and jutsus and Kamehameha waves and power ups and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it has enough like twists and turns. I agree that I think these last four episodes played it a little safe and made it, and were, I think, the only four episodes that felt a little predictable to me. Mm-hmm. But I still overall liked this show a lot.
Yeah.
I liked this show a lot.
Brennan, what do you think? We don't give a fuck about what you think, Brennan. All right.
Fuck what about you, Keenan? Where do you land on this show?
You know, because we have to ask you. Cause, you know.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you get asked, man.
So yeah, for the first nine episodes were really good. As I was in love with this show, and I didn't think, like I said, I'm more of a power guy. I'm more of like beams and a lot of stuff like explosions and shit like that. So when I'm watching an anime that's not that, I'm like my I guess my eyes for it kind of go like, all right, here we go with this. It's gonna probably be a little slow.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like that. But the back end of this as anime, just like y'all said, was it ended pretty slow and bad for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you, that fight with Yuri and Joe was trash as fuck to me.
Yeah,
that shit was garbage. Like, I was watching this, I was like, this. I said, damn near every fight scene before this was better than this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching this like, dog, this is the lead up. This is the one we came here to watch. We wanted to see this revenge fight. Yeah. And you give us this lackluster bullshit.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it is for me, too. It's like, with a fight like that, it's like, you really have to amp it because they don't have gear. So it felt like a fight that didn't have gear. Like, that, like, you got to have some cuts. And this is where we, you know, we talked about the director so much. Like, he should have had some punches and some shots where it's like, that regular punch felt like a stronger than any punch without gear. Like, they should have really, like, amplified that fight to where it's like, but... It felt like a fight without gear.
To me, it was mad predictable. It was the whole Yuri dominating again, and then Joe wins at the end. It should have been something to where I just never felt like Joe was going to really lose when I was watching this.
Yeah,
even though he was losing,
that.
I was like, he's not going to lose.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to lose.
Yeah, so it was like that fight to me had no stakes, and that fight should have had the most stakes.
Yeah,
and the fact that it, like, damn near every other fight had more stakes than that, to me, I was just like, this shit was terrible. Mm-hmm. So, like, it closing so weak, I can't put it in my top five because it closed, like, it closed out really weak to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, what do you do for a second season?
Yeah,
I don't. I honestly, I don't give a fuck about a second season. The way this
and
ended,
I don't think it needs one.
I don't think it needs one either. But yeah, I'm saying if they're gonna come back with one, right now I don't see anything that's gonna make me want to watch the second season.
Yeah,
because you know the Gearless Joe thing, Yuri's out. I mean, unless you're trying to make up some stuff from this guy's past and he's a whatever, and you can be like, all right, he's the one that might have did something to Joe's family that we don't know about, and he's a new fighter. Maybe some shit like that might get me interested. But besides that, yeah, I mean. It might have brought into my in my like low half of top 10.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I can't put it in my top 5 because it just ended so weak. I think if it ended better, it would have a fight to get in there. And like I said, Nambu's, he's a terrible trainer. He's not good to me. I would never trust anybody with a bald head and ponytail. I just can't. You can never. Who? How? Just fucking cut it.
Cut it, man.
Cut it, dog. You like I can trust a guy with an eye patch, man. Maybe because I feel like that might be some gritty shit they've been through.
Yeah.
But you got like you just come on, bro. Like it's not fair. Stevie Wonder has his hair fucked up like this.
Right.
But Stevie's blind. He don't understand what he looked like.
Nobody told
Nambu
him.
Nambu is able to look in the mirror with that one eye, but I look stupid as shit.
Yeah.
Let me cut this off, and he didn't. So fuck
Who
him for that.
Who is that guy on Mortal Kombat that has that shit?
But he was like the drunken master,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's funny.
So there's so many things that made me hate Nambu. Like,
yeah, I know you don't like him.
And
at all.
He's the real antagonist.
Kind of is.
Kind of. Yeah, I guess you can say he kind of is. And I think, like I said, to me personally, I think they could have. I think he's a replaceable character, and I think they could have either made the trainer have some type of something more tied to Joe to make me. To make the anime even better, but
he did push the story along.
He did.
I mean,
yeah.
I think the writer was so fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's he's able to do that. But I mean, if I were to grade this on a scale on a 1 to 10, I mean, these last 4 episodes, damn, I ain't gonna lie, it dropped it to probably about a 7.5 to me.
Damn, really?
Yeah, I was gonna say 8.
7.5,
but
7.
Before that, it was coming in at a hot 9.9.
It was coming in at a hot 9.
Mm. See, the last 4 I thought were the weakest, but they weren't so bad to me that I thought that it dropped that low.
I think because you just set the bar so high. I think it was its own detriment. If it would have came in like this, and it would have been like, all right, Clay, this is cool. But for you to go so fucking high to begin with, and it's just like, it's not bad. Just like, I feel like, it's like Batman, you know, the second Batman, and then the third one, like, after Heath Ledger, it's like, fuck. Like,
yeah, no, there's absolutely true.
Tom Hardy didn't have a chance. Like, he didn't have a chance. Like, Bane was dope. It's a decent Batman movie. But the second one is like, this is not, like, what Heath Ledger did with Joker is, and you thought, like, okay, this is the level that, I mean, because the first one was good, too. But then the second one, and then you, like, the third one is like, okay, it's going to be at least on the same level. And it was like, no, it wasn't. Like, it was cool, but it's not the same.
I think we would have saved this if you just made that last fight. Like more.
Yeah.
And that right there would have been like, these episodes would have been but I'm like, at least that last fight was worth it. I watched that last fight in boredom.
And they got through 13 rounds.
Yeah. And I don't even mind that because I understand they could have kept skipping rounds. I understand that normally, not really normally in boxing, but boxing can go 12 rounds or so. Yeah. So I get that. But like, Rob, what would you rank it out of a 10?
Out of 10? I'd probably give it like an 8.5 or a 9, personally.
8.5 or 9, even with those. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can understand that, and I think I won't argue with it because I can understand because like I said the front half of it or the front not even front half the front like 70 to 80% of the episode 70% of the show was amazing so I won't argue with you with that but yeah I think those last 4 and then that last fight scene really is where I was just like, all right man, you could at least gave me that. If you're gonna have these trash episodes, you could have gave me that fight scene to be really really good and really something. And I would have been, all right, cool, 8.5 or so.
Yeah. And that punch like that, I feel like that didn't – I feel like we just shitting on the show at this point. But I want to say it again. Like, this show is fucking amazing. This is one of the best animes out right now. Especially one of the best new animes out right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But, like, somebody being in a hospital, like they showed the IV bag, like it didn't carry – that much weight to me because the fight was so lackluster.
Exactly.
And it's just like, how could they even get to this point if the fight was so trash?
Yeah. And
like,
they
wasn't trading blows to the point where it was like, oh, shit. Like,
And I understand Yuri took a hard shot. That's what we're assuming, right?
Right.
And that could. You can get a concussion from that. You can get a concussion from getting knocked out.
For sure.
But it was just like you built it up to where he's getting he's dominating so much.
Right.
It wasn't like he was like, this is a battle to where they're both struggling, mm-hmm. and then he gets knocked out, and then I understand why he's in the hospital. Like, he could be in a hospital, but, like, I mean, Conor McGregor took more damage. Like, yeah. It's like...
I mean, the one thing that I can say to, like, to maybe back it up for the show is that, like, when Ace is watching it on TV, and I think, I don't remember if he's watching it with his sister, but he does say to somebody or to himself that, like, as he's watching Yuri, he's in between rounds, like... Not only does he not have anybody in his corner, he's just standing there, and he says to somebody, like, he can't sit down. If he does, he won't get back up.
Yeah.
Like, his body is fucked.
Yeah.
And it could be just because of the stress that he's been under. I mean, the fact that we've talked about Joe, like, having, you know, spent so little time in between his matches and the recovery, and the fact that, like, you know, Yuri had an easier fight with Spider, but he just got out of fucking intensive surgery.
Like, within like a week or so.
Yeah.
Like, so, this whole show took place in 3 months.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of date-wise, none of this shit adds up.
Yeah, for sure.
Date-wise, none of this adds up. Fighting-wise, none of these guys should be able to box.
No.
With all the, you're fighting with enhanced gear. Guys need time to recover. Regular boxing they need months to recover. Yeah. So the fact that these guys have enhancements and they're recovering within days.
The fact that he's 7-0 in 3 months.
It's crazy.
No.
It's crazy.
No. So, I mean, so, Rob, would you recommend this?
Oh, this is a strong recommend for me. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, and I would still recommend it. I would just be like, yeah, just understand that it might not have the ending that you probably lust for. But
it peaks a little early.
Yeah, it peaks a little early. But yeah, I would still recommend this anime. And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to watch next. I was thinking Mob Psycho.
Are we taking a fan? Listeners?
Oh, a listener one? I know a lot of people were requesting like a Black Clover.
Or Gangsta?
Gangsta.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's your recommendation, really, right?
Mm-mm. No. I've never seen Gangsta.
Oh, okay. I do know somebody, I think, when I was in the Bay Area doing some shows, he did. I think I forgot his cat's name, Samoan Cat. I think he recommended Gangsta to me, and he's like, this shit is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you know, we could do, I think that's short, too.
That'd be cool. I mean, another thing, and we probably should have talked this before we sat down,
but
another fun thing that we could do even is, you know, in between each show we finish off, we could do like a debate episode.
Yeah.
Take a week and kind of just do like something light, fun, and just like talk about that and then jump into another show after that. So
Let's do a debate show. I'm still thinking Gangsta because I think I did hear good things about it.
Okay, cool.
We're not doing that slime shit right now.
Oh,
so, Brennan, I'm sorry,
I watched
dog.
It. I was like... This shit is fucking trash.
Yo, and I can see Brennan has weird type of taste in his humor. So, like, he can give you a good one. I think there's no in between with Brennan. I think Brennan gives you a good one or he gives you a fucking bad one.
It was fucking bad.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry, Brennan. We're not watching slime, bro. All right, Rob, go ahead, drop your stuff.
Yeah, RVDanger44 on Twitter, RVDanger on Instagram.
Ice.
The eye exam, TheEyeXam. And something I want to say real quick, please tell your friends about the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Please tell your friends. Anybody that watches anime, tell them, like, put us on. I feel like Suge right now talking about Death Row.
Yeah.
tell your friends, rate us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Please, so we can, you know, get out here in these, you know, podcast streets and get known. So
Yeah. So we get these sponsorships too, y'all. We need views and we need reviews. Great, great reviews.
Views and reviews.
Great reviews. And we need 5 stars. Brennan, what's your stuff? Is that Mr. Bitch Boy? And I am Keenan on everything. Keenan Baker. It's like he just gets that work when he's not here.
He does. He really does.
I'm Keenan Baker on everything, man. Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Anime Shoot. We will see you guys next week.
And so anime was solved forever.